Welcome everybody to Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zakiya Robinson, and in today's show, I have Kynesa Martin on. We will be talking about her transformation testimony, coming out of witchcraft, rejection, deception from the enemy, suicide, and so much more. So let's tune in because this is a show you don't want to miss. Welcome everybody to the Faith Journey Journal. Today I have Kynesa on. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And so, as you know, we are on this journey, okay, of just telling people's testimonies and just looking at what God have done in their life. A lot of people you're going to see now is people who's talking about their books and how they even started writing their books. I believe that all of us have a purpose. Anything that you go through in life is not just for it to be dormant, but it's to be used for the glory and the mission of God. And I have put out a post and I have was looking for people to talk about their book. And Kynesa, she was one of the ones that reached out and we talked, and I love her story. One of the things you're going to hear about her story is how to communicate with God, because sometimes we make life decisions, choices. We go outside of the will of God, and then we're looking at God like, God, why did this happen to me? And he's like, well, you didn't ask me. You didn't come, you didn't pray, you didn't seek me. One of the things that a lot of people is we like to blame God for what turns out in our life, when really he was speaking all along. He was probably speaking through people. He was speaking through his word. He was speaking through a sermon. And sometimes we miss that because we want to hear audible. I've heard a lot of people say, I want to hear the audible voice. I just need him to come down and just tell me exactly what to do. But when you open up his word, guess what? He tells you what to do. Okay. Sometimes people also feel that they're not hearing the voice of God, but if you open up his word, guess what you're going to hear? The voice of God. And so I want Kynesa to tell us a little bit about herself and how she even came to this journey of writing this book that she had that we're going to talk about a little later, but she's going to walk us through her journey and how God got a hold of her. So it's all yours.
Thank you. And if at any point, like, because I know I talk fast, I love telling my testimony, because like the power of God is real and the blood of Jesus still has power today. And it's just exciting anytime, you know, I have the opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ through what he did for me. So my name is Kynesa. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. Now I'm in Georgia. I've been here maybe 4 years, and I've been walking with the Lord for 4 years. I was born again January 1st, 2021. And my life in St. Louis was pretty much typical for any like young person from the age of like 14 to mid 20s. I didn't really grow up in the church or anything like that. You know, when I was a kid, my parents took us to church, and I was baptized when I was 10. I did it because that's what you do in the Black household. They take you, hey, they're having baptismal service. Come on, y'all, get your big white t-shirt. We're going to get baptized. And it didn't mean anything to me. Going to church on a Sunday was just, or going to a building on Sunday after reading the Bible, a building isn't a church. The born again Christians are the church. But going into a building, being taught that it was the church, and then listening to a person talk on Sunday, and then going home, it was just like going to school. It's an activity, and you don't really take any of it seriously. Mm-hmm. So kind of fast forward, at 14 or 15, I lost my virginity. And it was because of, well, now I know, rejection and wanting to fit in, not wanting to be the odd person out. So if any of you guys are in the neighborhood, or if you're young and you know that this is almost like the neighborhood clique or group of kids, and you're pretty much just the girls date the guys in the neighborhood, the guys date the girls in the neighborhood, and you swap around. So that's pretty much what we were doing. No one, you know, said anything to us about, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, that's sin. Even though everyone around us called themselves Christians and said that they believe in God and they read the Bible, no one addressed us to say, well, stop what you're doing. You're going down the wrong path. You know, you having sex out here and doing whatever else is going to lead to, you know, worse issues. And then moving a little bit forward, in my early 20s, moved out of my mom and dad's house, got my own apartment. Well, actually, I moved out of my mom's house, and I got a house with a guy. So what you guys call shacking up, playing house. So I was playing house, thought I was grown. In my mind, I said, well, this is going to be my husband. Mind you, he's not my husband. I said, this is going to be my husband. This is going to be the father of my children. Mind you, he's not. But we're still living together, have a house. And we were off and on 3.5 years. And what I've learned and what Jesus Christ had to tell me, even when I kind of replay these things in my mind initially, that I wasn't the victim. There wasn't anything that I was forced to do. But a fallen nature always says that someone else is the problem. But around this time period, I started to get into what I found out now was New Age. No one talked about it. No one talked about witchcraft. No one talked about demons. No one talked about soul ties. Pretty much the spiritual realm was shut off to me. So I thought. And back then, I had blue dreadlocks. It was the thing for girls and guys to have dreadlocks back then, all these flamboyant colors. I was the one that had all the tattoos, had my septum pierced, had my tongue pierced twice, had my lip pierced, all the piercings, all the tattoos. So it's like, look, I was out there. It was normal. No one said anything about it. So it's like, why not? And getting into New Age first with, all the affirmations and, you wear certain colors to draw certain things to you. And the less you look like other people, the less energy they can take from you. So I end up cutting all my hair off because not a lot of people have short haircuts as far as females go. So I said, well, they can't take my energy.
That's crazy because I see a lot of people in New Age with short hair. I never knew that that was tied.
And so when you hear people say, protecting their energy, they're speaking along those lines. So if they're in rocks around their necks, if, they're very closed off, not want to talk to individuals, it's all because they're trying to protect their energy. Opening up chakras, chakra healing, meditation. I was doing all these things. And in the middle of that, the guy was saying, well, hey, you should read the Bible. The same one that was kind of teaching me and coaching me on how to do these things, past lives and astral projection, all these things, was saying, well, read the Bible. So I said, okay. So I started reading the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible, so I just said, hey, I'm going to start in Genesis and just read forward. And as I was reading, okay, I get to, where Moses receives the Ten Commandments and he's talking about sin. And I'm just reading it logically, like, okay, this is what's written, so this has to be true. But he was saying that it wasn't true. He was saying that where there is no sin. So this is what kind of started, honestly, this is what started the depression and the confusion, because I was like, well, you're telling me to read the Bible, but you're saying that what's in the Bible isn't true. And so during this time period as well, I was seeing spirits walking around in my living room because I'm literally opening up my soul to demons, not knowing what I'm doing. Having those outer body experiences where I would see myself across the room and I would see like spirits walking towards my body, which I know now are demons. And at that point, because I was doing all these things, I could feel the presence of demons and walking around in my living room. But I didn't say anything. I kind of brushed it off. I said, oh, well, I'll just try to live with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. There wasn't anyone talking about it. So I felt like I have to figure it out on my own. And there was an instance where, the depression kicked in, and then the suicidal thoughts began to kick in and say, well, if you're such this bad person in your past lives, you were just such this evil person, then it wouldn't make a difference if you were dead. So at that point, I was kind of contemplating how could I do it without it hurting. That's pretty much when you come to suicide, you try to figure out how is it not going to hurt. And you say, okay, well, how can I do this without hurting? Because at this point, I had a gun, but I sold it because I stopped working because he said I should stop working and everything. So I was like, okay, well, I can't shoot myself. That's out of the window. And like I said, seeing spirits walk around in my living room, going on TikTok, and I'm seeing like wolves out of nowhere on random, posts, and just still brushing it off. And even it came to a point where there was a church we went to maybe like 3 times. They say he was pointing out individuals saying that, okay, that's Jesus, that's Mary. And I'm just sitting there like, what in the world are you talking about? And in my mind, I said, well, he's crazy. It was always him. I'm doing all these things. Again, he's not forcing me. I'm sitting right there with him. And because of, him saying in the past that, everyone deserted him, he has no one, I was a self-imposed prisoner because I didn't want to get up and leave because of I was obligating myself to him. And it got to the point where about 2 or 3 days, I didn't eat anything. And I was like, hey, I think I fasted. It wasn't anything intentional. I wasn't hungry, so I didn't eat. And after those 3 days, I had no sexual desire at all. And
Wow.
it felt strange because, again, I lost my virginity at 14 or 15. I was doing all the oral sex, anal sex, doing any and everything because of rejection. I wanted to be loved. And one day, I didn't have that desire at all. Like, and it was, like I said, it was weird. So I was like, wow. But I was excited. I was like, this is something new. When I told the guy, and he said, well, that means you're maturing. But when I told him I fasted, that's when he got upset. He said, well, who told you to fast? And I'm thinking in my mind, like, well, we're the only two living here. There's no one else that can tell me to fast. But like out of my mouth, I just said, I think my spirit. Like I said, I don't know what was going on. And then, like I said, he got upset. And after I told him I fasted, and that's how all the desire went away. Like all the little toys I had, I threw that away. All the little costumes, I threw that away because I didn't have a desire for it anymore. And so he still wanted to have sex. And that night, I cried the whole time. And it wasn't like a loud, boisterous cry. I pretty much just like cried to myself. And I said, this is how a prostitute feels. Because now that I don't have the desire to fornicate and I'm fornicating anyway, I'm seeing how I'm a prostitute. And the Lord told me that I began to feel bad for having oral sex. Again, no one ever said anything that it was bad. No one said that it was unclean. But I was the friend that said, you should never get an abortion. That's murder. But the Holy Ghost convicted me about having oral sex. So that's how I know oral sex is unclean. No one can convince me that oral sex is clean. It's not. This
It's
is
not.
where you eliminate waste. So you're lying. And there was it was a lot going on. And he tried to get me to get on OnlyFans, and OnlyFans is pretty much a site for prostitutes to get paid to be watched, performing perverted acts. And I said, well, if you love me, why are you? I'm thinking, if you love me, why are you trying to have me? Why are you trying to pimp me? And it came to the point where he said that he was God. And that's where I had to put the brakes. I said, okay, if what you're saying about the Bible is true, that would mean that God is a liar. And I said, and my mind said, I can't go that far. That's too much. And it was a night where I had got blackout drunk. It was like on my birthday in 2020, because my birthday is in November. And I had got blackout drunk, and we were supposed to have a threesome that night. And because I had got blackout drunk, he ended up just taking me home. And I was in the bed maybe for a week because I was just sick. I think I had alcohol poisoning, honestly, and I was sick. And during this time period is where I audibly heard God talk to me. And I can't say that. Obviously, I knew it was God, but the voice was familiar, even though I'd never heard it before. And as I was laying in the bed after having alcohol poisoning, I was playing back everything that occurred in my life from October of 2020 to December of 2020, which is all this new age stuff and the depression and suicide and all the things. And the first thing that I realized before I heard God say anything to me was that something's wrong with me. I played back the fact that, okay, I went from going to school, going to work. Now I done cut all my hair off. I'm only wearing blue, orange, and red. I'm over here meditating, opening up chakras, having all these out-of-body experiences, depressed, suicidal. This guy's telling me he's God and saying that his semen is an elixir, it's going to save everyone. He's going to go to another planet and save them. All this playing back in my mind. And the first thought that I had was something's wrong with me. Because I am sitting here with him. And as soon as I acknowledged that something was wrong with me, that's when I heard God audibly tell me first that you're a harlot. And because I was reading the Bible speaks about harlots and whores in the Bible. When God speaks about harlotry, it's idolatry because we were created by God for God. So when we're serving other gods, we're referred to as a harlot. So I had to acknowledge, I said, well, I am a harlot because my life witnessed to the fact that I am. And I'll tell you this right now, when it comes to the word of God, and then when it just comes to your life in general, your life is not a respecter of persons. Your life is not biased. Your life is not going to lie for you. When God says something, he will show you yourself. He will show you your actions, the words you spoke. He will show you your heart. So I had to acknowledge I am a harlot. The second thing he told me was you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And this I had to think about because in my mind, I was a good person. I prayed, you know, I didn't want to see anything bad happen to individuals. When I was in a relationship, I was faithful. So by my own standards, I was like, well, I'm a good person. But I had to acknowledge that I've never at all acknowledged Jesus Christ whatsoever. I did what I wanted to do. So once I realized that I've never acknowledged Jesus Christ, I said, well, no, I don't have a relationship with him. And the last thing he told me was, if you stay here, you're going to hell. Now, after he said that, I didn't have a moment to like reason to see if this was true. So I woke up that next day and it literally felt like I was in court. I had never been to court before. I never been had any run-ins with law enforcement. It literally felt like I was in court. I was being prosecuted and evidence was being presented against me. Like the courts of heaven is real.
Yes.
Like, it is real.
It's very real. Actual.
And so the next morning I thought, and I remembered everything vividly, the conversation. And I said, if the first and the second thing were true about me, this last thing has to be true.
Wow.
So I had packed a bag and I messaged my big sister on Facebook because she lives down here in Atlanta. I said, hey, if I need to come stay with you, can I? She was like, yeah. So I packed the bag. I left that apartment and I drove 8 hours to come down here to Georgia. And on January, well, so when I got down here to Georgia, it was December the 20th of 2020. And they were going to a New Year's conference that just December 30th or the 31st. He said, my niece said, hey, well, do you want to come with us? I'm like, yeah. So between those couple of days before December 31st, I just kept reading the Bible. I'm like, I don't have anything else to do. I'm not working. So I just kept reading the Bible. And I was reading Isaiah 55, and I believe it was verses 5-7, where it speaks about the wicked forsaking their way and the unrighteous their thoughts and turning to the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. I cried reading that because literally, like, I was in that situation in St. Louis, and I felt like nobody could help me. That's why I just turned to suicide. I'm like, nobody can help me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And I'm just stuck here. And it got to the point where I stopped trying to get out of the situation. And I said, this is just what my life is now. Mm-hmm. And reading Isaiah 55, verses 5-7, I felt the mercy of God and the love of God pulling me out of that situation. Because I know how it is, you know, as a woman, when you're dealing with a guy for years and you have this strong soul tie, because you're programming your soul to say this is your husband. So when you break up with this person, it feels like you're going through a divorce, and you honestly do need the strength of God to pull you out of that. And I cried leaving there. I don't know why I was crying, but it's like I was having a divorce. I was picking up leaving, and that was going to be gone forever.
Even though you knew he wasn't good for you, you still felt it.
Yeah. Like it's soul ties are real. Like when God tells us to not fornicate, he's telling us for a reason.
Yes.
It's for our own good. He's not telling you that because, oh, I don't want you to have a good life. The flesh will have you out here looking like a nut and thinking that God is against you, but he's not.
Yeah, there was something that you had mentioned when you were talking about the new age and you started with that. What will be like, tell me the different feeling that you get with God versus what you got with the new age. Because a lot of times when people start with new age, they start feeling like, oh, I got this peace. I got this joy. They start to actually feel false peace, false joy, false reality. Just they begin to even hear what they would call spirit guides. Okay. Which is a false Holy Spirit. And they're taking this on as you're wrong. I know what I'm doing is right. I'm seeing prosperity. I'm seeing, you know, money. I'm seeing my business flourish. I'm seeing all of these things. And so, and then you got to a point where you're like, hold on, I'm actually now I'm suicidal. I'm going down a deep end. Can you talk about that transition to where you felt the joy and peace to where you, that transition to where you were just like, yeah, something's not right here.
Absolutely. So the main difference that you any time with an unclean spirit, whether it's a demon or a fallen angel, you're going to be proud because they're going to offer you up information. So when the Bible talks about if the light and you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So in the Bible speaks about Satan coming as a masquerading as an angel of light and as ministers of righteousness. What that means is they're going to offer you up information that sounds good. So whether you call yourself woke, whether you call yourself, knowledgeable, demons travel in gangs. So if you have, so if a demon of a lying spirit or a deceptive spirit is going to talk to you and tell you you're God, use this rock to heal you, you're not going to be thinking logically. What the devil does is he uses your feelings and your emotions to manipulate you to believe a lie. So because I was rejected and I needed an answer, I would have believed anything that was told to me. So that's why I'm sitting here cutting all my hair off. After I done had all this hair, I didn't cut it off because, okay, I'm seeking for truth. I'm seeking for some type of peace and comfort. And you're the only person offering it to me. I'm going to see if this is going to work. And I tell people, witches, warlocks, diviners, sorcerers, conjurers, they have real power. They have the ability to manipulate you emotionally when you're not anchored to God, when you're not anchored to his word, when you don't know Jesus Christ. So, and up front, it was like, oh yeah, this stuff works. Okay, I am, even though and you can't see what your life actually is looking like. So I'm doing all this stuff thinking that, okay, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. Because honestly, what you're looking for is some type of emotional and spiritual stability that can only come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So with all that going on, I didn't see the fact that, child, you didn't quit your job. Ain't no money coming in. The money, little money you got, he taking it smoking weed. And you sit up in a church thinking you find okay, but you got demons walking around in your living room and you're not saying nothing. So unclean spirits are blinding because they don't care what your life looks like. And so the switch up came when I began to resist what he was saying. And he's inspired by demons. So this is what we have to realize too, and not always looking at the person like they just so far gone. People are inspired by spirits. Everybody is. So, I pray for his salvation too because I was right there with him. I was fornicating with him, so I didn't love him. We didn't love each other for real. We were using each other. So the switch up came when I was like, okay, well, how can what you say be true if the Bible's saying that this is sin? So whenever you begin to resist these spirits that you once used to like be in communion with, whether you call them spirit guides or whatever you want, your ancestors, the moment you question them, that's when the depression, the torment, and the mental anguish comes in, because the devil knows when he's starting to lose a stronghold on you because of God, not because of another unclean spirit. He don't care if you, so like if I'm sitting there in New Age and I say, oh, well, I'm gonna go be a Mormon. He don't care if you go be a Mormon because that's a lie too. You can go to another lie, but if you go to the truth, I'm gonna have you kill yourself before you get there so you can go to hell.
Yeah, because then that heavy depression, stress, it's like even when people leave the relationships, when they finally realize, like, why am I stuck in this? And then next thing you know, all of the thoughts, all of the emotions, everything just comes and like floods you. I mean, I like that you pointed out that you can go to another religion, you can go to another false, and you're going to remain the same, but you go to the truth, and then that's when everything begins to hit you. It's crazy how the enemy tells him to tell you to open up. Well, nope, let me back up. That wasn't the enemy. God had him to tell you to open up the Bible, and then he gets mad because now you're starting to see truth. You see how the enemy is? Half truth, half lie. God allowed that moment to happen for you to even pick up your word, and then that's when you started questioning things. The other thing I wanted to ask you really quick was, when you started to read the word, because one of the things you pointed out in the beginning was like how you went to church, early on. You didn't really feel anything. You were just doing it just because it's something y'all did on Sunday. You went to church. Do you think that was a big part of the reason why, like, when you pretty much left your parents' home, that you entered into these things because no one was really walking out their faith?
To be honest, like as far as like the childhood upbringing and going to church as a kid, I didn't grow up with a concept of Christianity. So going to church as a kid, I didn't know that was like Christianity because no one outwardly said I'm a Christian. So if somebody walked up to me only because in the black community, you call yourself a Christian or a Baptist, but like I don't know what any of this stuff meant. So like no one, I never even put the title on myself as I'm a Christian. So I didn't have that concept in my mind to say, well, you're saying you're a Christian, but you're not really walking it out. It's just in hindsight now, when I first was born again, I look back and I say, well, all these people, like there was a Bible in the house. Like I go to people's house and it's a Bible. And I remember, well, how all these Bibles was around, but nobody was preaching the gospel. Like nobody cared for my soul. And that's one of the things that the Lord convicted me about, because I was upset, because I'm like, how are y'all Christians? But anybody say nothing to me? Like I could have, a lot of stuff could have been avoided had you have said something. And at the same time, it's like, would it have been avoided? So it's like, coulda, woulda, shoulda always come into play, because it didn't happen. You could say, I would have known better, but it's like,
What we really
God know when we'll turn. And he told me, well, they didn't say anything. You say something. So I'm like, oh, well, that's my responsibility. I can't put nothing on nobody else, because everybody needs to be saved. And so it's like, okay, knowing what I know, I'm responsible, because God gave every born again Christian a ministry of reconciliation. And that's what we all called to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have ended up writing a book called The Mercy Seat. It's a journal. How did that even come about, with your testimony and like just leading up to this journal?
So even with the last portion where God said, well, nobody said anything to you, you say something. So at that point, I had a natural desire to just teach people what God had taught me, and teaching it in sincerity, not being proud to say, well, I know more than you, and not wanting to be lord over God's inheritance, but wanting to honestly tell people, like, hey, this is what I came out of, this is what God showed me about what I was doing particularly, and this is what his word says. So I was riding in a car one day and I was listening to a song called The Mercy Seat. And one of the things I love doing is figuring out the whys in the Bible, like why did God do things in a certain way? So I was doing studies on the Old Testament tabernacle and the different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, and what do they mean and how do they relate to us as far as the New Testament goes. So prayer is the foundation of every born again Christian's life. That's literally communication with God. So when it comes to the mercy seat, knowing that one, you need to read the Old Testament to understand, you need to read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament as well. So when Jesus Christ makes references, you know where they're coming from and why he's saying what he's saying. So knowing what the mercy seat is, it's the throne of God. So we know about the Ark of the Testament, but above it is the mercy seat, which the blood had to be sprinkled on. So it's like, okay, well, what is the mercy seat? Why is that significant? So when we're going to God in prayer as a born again Christian, we're approaching his throne, a throne of mercy. Right now he's offering mercy to mankind. So when people read about the return of Jesus Christ, we have to, okay, what does it say in the Bible about the return of Jesus Christ for those that aren't saved? It's referred to as a dark and gloomy day. When God comes back to judge the earth, he's not offering mercy. You can pray and ask for forgiveness, but when he returns to bring forth judgment, the time of mercy and grace has ended. Right now is the time of mercy. Right now is the opportunity for people to say, hey, look at themselves logically, look at their lives, and say, if I'm saying I'm a Christian or whatever I say I am, what's going to be the eternal state of my soul? Where do I really think I'm going to end up once I die, once I leave this place? So the opportunity to repent, the opportunity to go to God and say, I'm wrong. How I think is wrong, what I think is wrong, and you're right about everything, and I need to be retaught how to live. You're able to approach God's throne asking for mercy. And the only way we can even go to the throne of grace is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's why when you see the cover of the book, The Mercy Seat Journal, it's blood. So it's like people feel like, oh, well, I pray to God all the time. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus doesn't give you access to the mercy seat. And that's why the Old Testament is important. Okay, well, what were all these priests doing? Why all these priests need all these sacrifices and all this blood? Blood is the atonement for sin, but the Old Testament only covered it for a season, for a year. You have to do it repetitively over and over again. When you read about them sacrifices, that stuff is tedious, and it's a blessing that we ain't got to go through all that. We ain't got to find no turtle doves, no pigeons, no goats. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accepting what he did on the cross, taking Jesus Christ on as your personal lamb offered up to God, so that way you can go to God in prayer and he hears you. He said he hears the sincere cries of repentance.
Yeah, I want to, you know, the crazy thing is this is how witchcraft came about. Everything that was stopped because Jesus came and that stuff wiped away, the enemy, he uses that to keep it going. And that's how a lot of people is being deceived. This is why it's important to know your word. It's important to do studies. It's important to look at the interlinear. It's important to look at commentary. It's important to study. And some people, they may not know how to study because, like you said, like you came from, you know, the background that you had, and then now you're serving God, and you are a person who know your word. Like no one can deceive you because you're going to look it up. How did you get to that point of just like, okay, I need to start studying? Because maybe someone's in the same boat where they're like, I don't even know where to start. Where should they start at? I know you mentioned the Old Testaments and everything, like. How should they get this started? What type of tools should they use to get themselves educated on the Bible?
So first, I definitely want to hit on the why. Like anytime when you're teaching somebody, you have to tell them why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. If you like, you guys heard my testimony. He was telling me to read the Bible, but then telling me that what's in the Bible is a lie. So I knew that, okay, the devil knows the Bible, and the devil will use the Bible and has used the Bible to try to deceive people. The Bible speaks about like you're not preaching another gospel, but you're perverting the gospel. So trying to take scriptures, twist it to accommodate sin. So I knew that, okay, well, I have to read this word and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me what God means, what He's saying, what He's saying in His word. So that way, when somebody comes to me, and even when I'm talking to people in a conversation, they can't try to use the Bible to accommodate anything. I'm responsible. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if I want to know what the will of God is for my life, I need to know this Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, obviously, like as far as the teaching on the Word of God and understanding it, like I didn't have a blueprint for myself. Like the Lord just led and guided me. So if you have personal devotional time, which you should, whether it's early in the morning or late at night before you go to bed, an hour, 2 hours, hour and a half, however, you know, especially when you're working and building up that discipline to sit there and read and study, asking the Holy Spirit, okay, help me to understand, show me what you want me to understand in your word. For me, I bounce between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, the primary tools that you need, regardless of where you start, is a concordance. So, like was stated, it has the interlinear, meaning that you have the English translation, but in the Old Testament, it will show you the Hebrew in parts where it's in Aramaic, and it will show you, as far as the New Testament, the Greek and what these words mean. Every word that's read in English, this original language is in English, so it has a different meaning. So you need to know what is meant by this specific word. Having a notebook, having a pen and a pencil, having highlighters, so that way you can actually study to show yourself approved. Now, what I do suggest, regardless of where you start, honestly, I would say start in John. Read the Gospels first, which is John, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, and then go to the book of Acts. And then I also suggest reading the Old Testament, obviously. But wherever you see Jesus Christ make a reference to something where he says, like the prophet Daniel, go back in the book of Daniel and figure out where is this, what Jesus Christ is saying, where is this in the book of Daniel? A study guide Bible will do that a lot of times. So if you have like a, because I have a King James study Bible, and sometimes where it has a scripture, it'll have like a small letter up top where it'll show you where it's referenced. And I always write down, okay, the reference to what was just said is in this place. So you bounce back and forth and you're ingesting the Old Testament and the New Testament together to help you understand in totality what the Holy Spirit is trying to convey to us.
That's good. Are you in the process of, do you teach people about, you know, how to study the word, or do you have your own women's group or something that's going on at this moment?
So, I am in the process of doing a workshop for the Mercy Sheet Journal, but also creating a study guide to learn how to study the Bible.
Awesome.
So the main thing, like word studies, like you mentioned earlier, because I find that especially as a newborn again Christian, the first thing that the devil is going to do is try to make you afraid, try to make you afraid of spiritual things, trying to make you afraid of praying in the Holy Ghost, because the devil does retaliate. I mean, we're called to war.
Yes, you do.
And that's what like religion doesn't teach you, that hey, you're called to be a soldier. I mean,
Talk
as
about
a
it. They
babe.
say, a lot of people, they go, I didn't know I was going to go through all this. I used to have this, and I used to have the money. I used to have the job. And then they're like, what is going on? I came to Christ and I lost it all. And I'm up against war and I'm having nightmares and dreams and I'm being attacked. And it's like, well, you came to Christ. You're on the other side now. Devil don't mess with what's his. He don't need
right.
You're already going to hell.
The devil don't like you. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. He don't like you. He don't like you when you serve him. I mean, he definitely don't like you when you turn to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this I will say, because like, listen to my testimony, God has said, okay, well, you know, you're going to have to contend against witches and warlocks and so on and so forth. But the gratitude and appreciation for salvation is going to have you say, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I've been looking for my whole life, I'm going to war for my salvation. I'm going to war for other people's salvation who don't even know they're taken captive.
Yeah.
So that's why being baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you're first born again, that's your next mission. So that way you can contend against witches and warlocks, the devil, fallen angels, and demons. Because when you are asleep, that's when you're most vulnerable. So all these, what they call like sex dreams, those are incubus and succubus spirits that you're creating covenants with. And if you don't have the word of God in you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will be literally unconscious as you sleep and you're just going with the flow. Mm-hmm. You literally, like, warfare in the spirit is real. When you're asleep, you will go to war with witches while you're asleep.
Yes.
And you know it's real.
I've been there. I didn't have them trying to take my hair, trying to chase me around tables, and I'm rebuking and binding. I didn't been put in a whole witch's circle, and they were trying to spin me around in circles to take what you call energy from me. And that stuff is real. You wake up and you feel the drain, the tiredness, like you have literally just been in war against this stuff. And like you said, they wait till you go to sleep because that's when you're most vulnerable. This is why it's important that throughout your day, you're reading your word. Throughout your day, you're having time with God, you know, far as praying, reading, studying, watching, you know, additional sermons that's pertaining to what you're dealing with. Because that's one of the angles I like to use, is to study the season you're in. You know, outside of studying scripture, because the thing is what you're going through, you should be able to teach it to somebody after you come out of it. And this is one of the things where, you know, one of the things that God have worked on me with is like, don't just go through the warfare. Don't just go through the war. Don't just go through this trial. Actually study what you're going through. Because when you think about it and look back on your life, if you have not studied that thing and you have not broken the curse of whatever it is, it revisits you. And you're like, why is this happening again? Why does this always happen to me? Well, it's time to study it. And a good pastor of mine, he basically was just like, you know, when you're going through it, if you can't teach it, if you don't know scriptures, if you don't know who went through this in the Bible, then you ain't ready to come out of it because you have not studied it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're even trying to figure out, you know, other options on where to start from, start where you're at. You mentioned one thing about when a person comes into Christ and how, like, pretty much the enemy intimidates them. Okay. That is a big problem for people. They come into Christ and they're like, now what? I just did a show with another person and they were talking about, like, you know, what to do after salvation, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of good models out here after salvation. So one thing I want you to touch on for me is baptism. You mentioned a little bit about it. You're talking about the importance of it. Some people feel like they don't need to be baptized. Sis, I want you to talk about this baptism, if you don't mind. Shed the light on baptism.
Okay. So one, if you've ever in your life had any type of what you try to call nightmares, they're real. Those are real spirits. It's not like just an imagination. There are actually people that walk around on earth that a lot of times you've encountered before, whether it's like old boyfriends, old girlfriends, that are practicing witches and warlocks, and they wait for you to go to sleep and they curse you in your sleep. Mm-hmm. You create covenants in your sleep. They can have you ingesting unclean things in your sleep. And then you wake up in your life. Sometimes you wake up with an attitude. You wake up not even knowing what's wrong. You wake up with all these headaches. You wake up with infirmities, diseases all of a sudden. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is going to equip you, and it's going to quicken you even while you're asleep to be aware to say, this is a witch. This is a demon. So like I said, bind, rebuke, and to plead the blood of Jesus against these spirits. There is power in the blood of Jesus. But if you have not been truly baptized in the Holy Ghost, you cannot defend yourself. Mm-hmm. The same way, you know, people who have kids or whatever, you didn't fight, you were fighting in the world because you know you need to defend yourself. The devil fights saints. He fights everybody, but he particularly fights Christians because one, he doesn't want you to pray. And he does these things because when you are honestly walking in the will of God, he's going to give you the authority to walk in his will. And every born again Christian baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you know what God called you to do, the devil has a target on your back because he knows that God will give you the authority and the power to expose him. So we see in the book of Acts where demons were being cast out, where all these miracles were happening. That's because these people were sanctified to God and his purpose, not trying to figure out what we want to do, what God want to do, what God has called them for. And they were living a holy life, meaning that they weren't entertaining the devil, they weren't entertaining lusts and passions and whatever else. And then they walked closely with God. So as far as like the what next, what I always do, especially explaining, like I said, explaining the why, before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, which was August the 8th, I was like, okay, well, why? What is it? What's the difference between baptism in the Holy Ghost and water baptism? Because I don't want to do stuff ignorantly. Because, like I said, if you're going to do something, somebody going to ask you, you need to give them a logical answer. So one of the pastors that I listened to, his name was Derek Prince, and he has a video on YouTube that explains the doctrine of baptisms, which was the baptism of John the Baptist, water baptism, the baptism of the repentance, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost baptizes Christ in us. So this is why, like, when you, if God gives you any type of power and authority to do, like cast out devils or whatnot, do not think it's you. The devil will literally take your pride and use it against you, and you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. So it's Christ that the Holy Ghost is coming upon. So when you seek Jesus, when you seek his will to seek to know who he is and draw closer to him, especially through fasting, fasting expedites a lot of things. So like when we pray about decreasing and allowing God to increase, allowing to Jesus Christ to increase, that means that we are decreasing as far as flesh, our opinions, our inputs, what we want, and we're allowing through fasting, through prayer, through reading and studying our Bible, listening to holy praise and worship, not all this Christian rap stuff. We're strengthening our spirit man. Our spirit man is the one that has the dominion and the power and the authority, not this flesh. So like a lot of times day four into a fast, you're tired, you don't want to do nothing. That's you decreasing. And so at that point, it's easier to hear God. It's easier to be used by the Holy Spirit because you're tired. You don't feel like doing nothing. So the Holy Ghost will have to contend with your flesh.
And that's when you got to really rely on the Holy Spirit. Because there's been times where I have a women's group, and there's been time I'm like, Lord, I'm so tired. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And then it turns out to be one of the best ones I've had is when I'm tired. And that's because now at this point, you're like, Lord, you're depending on Him. Lord, I really need you. I want you to talk about, what people can find in your journal if they, purchase your journal. Like, what would they find in your journal?
So, and then too, particularly, the journal is to address heart issues. So, in the world dealing with the devil and all these different types of traumas and circumstances that we get into, we automatically close ourselves off not only from people, but we close ourselves off from God. So, there are parts of our heart that we haven't allowed Jesus Christ into. So, things like when we've been hurt, so whether it's relationship traumas, traumas with your parents, siblings, these things have to be addressed. If we want to be used by God, they have to be addressed. These things create wounds, and Satan knows those wounds are there. So keeping those wounds there will allow you to be easily offended. So if you're easily offended, as soon as someone says something, the devil can say, well, they're saying that because they don't like you, or they have these intentions, and you will literally separate yourself from the people God has called you to walk with. So topics like when we've been hurt, when we're afraid, when dealing with the opposite sex, especially, I'll say for myself, because I do have testimonies on the topics. I thought that when I got saved, everyone that say they saved, everybody that say they're a Christian, everybody that say Jesus, they just like me. No, there was an instance I was, then with social media being so popular now, everyone meets everybody on social media. I met a guy on Facebook, and it first started off. And I'll say this too, the flesh will jump religious when you get saved, when you're really born again. So I was using, oh, we're just gonna get on the phone and pray together. We're just gonna pray together. Chat as list, you list and stuff. Like, and Lord, he'll like, oh, okay. I didn't ask the Lord about anything I was doing. Like, oh, we're gonna pray together. And then after prayer turns, like having conversations. So one day I just stopped. I'm like, okay, I know how I was in the world. I know that like I was rejected and I wanted a man and all this type of stuff. So now when you get saved, oh, I want a husband. Now you just turn your lust religious. I want a husband. I want to be a good wife, you know, godly, you know, parenting. I said, okay, Lord, I said, should I be talking to him? He said, no. He told me no. So I'm like, okay.
The Lord shut
And
it
then, and so,
down. I said, the Lord shut it down on you quick.
quickly, I didn't have to wait days. I didn't have to fast. No. I said, no. So I'm like, okay. And this is what I say too. Like, when you're new in the faith, you are very, 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 very sensitive to God's voice because that hunger and that thirst is so strong. And we have to be careful that when we get more mature in the faith, that we don't get common with God, that it's harder to hear him and it's easier to hear the flesh and what you want to do. So I'm like, okay, I stopped talking to him. So I called and said, well, you know, I said, just like this, the Lord told me, you know, we shouldn't be talking anymore. So I think this is our last conversation. And of course he had attitude, but I'm like, I don't care. God said no, so no, goodbye. And that was that. But getting into going to God about situations, especially like that, because getting with the wrong person can do tremendous damage. And the devil knows what he got in you if it's still there. But if we don't seek God in prayer first, he cannot address those heart issues, and the devil will keep having us go through the same thing over and over again. So even things like finding your purpose, it's in the Word of God. The primary, and I'll say this too, because I know like everyone always is asking, even a lot of people who aren't saved, what am I here for? What's my purpose?
Yes, they do.
And that's a logical question. He tells us in his word that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So when God says that he gives us the fivefold ministry gifts to perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry, what's the ministry? He told us the ministry of reconciliation. So regardless of what you are doing, if your focus isn't the ministry of reconciliation, meaning that reconciling man with God through preaching repentance, through preaching salvation, offering salvation to people, you know, telling people the truth, don't sugarcoat anything for folks, then you're always going to ask. But if you don't want people to be reconciled, then you really don't want to do what God has called for you to do. Now, how is it going to have you go about the ministry of reconciliation, whether it's through a business and, you know, the people you interact with, you know, preaching and, you know, discipling and ministering to them? That's on God how he wants you to do it specifically. But primarily, the ministry of reconciliation is every Christian purpose.
Yeah, it is. Amen. I'm glad you said that because a lot of people, you know what I've realized when people come into Christ is they have hidden expectations. And then when those hidden expectations isn't met, then they start to veer off into other things. I know one thing is it's easy to be deceived, especially as a new believer. I like that you mentioned that when people come into Christ and you know they're new believers, they start to use the word of God for everything. This overzeal. They have this overly zeal behavior. And it's like, no, the word of God says this. And okay, I could justify this with the scripture. And now you're walking in deception. And that's how the enemy gets a lot of people because he knows that they really have a heart for God. They really want to serve God. They really want to do his will. They want to, you know, to a T. And then he'll start implementing deception. Just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say, you know, starting off with that whole scene? And she's just probably looking at it like, well, it is nice. You know, this does look good for food. This does look good. You know, maybe I can gain the same knowledge in deception and hit you. Now you're in a whole different area. Now you're dealing with these spirits. Because listen, once these spirits get in, if you're not careful, it's not easy to get out. I'm not even gonna sit here and act like spirits are easy to get out, especially when you've been accustomed to it since birth. You know, some people they come into this world with demons because they were made in fornication. Okay, demon had a legal right. You know, that's a temple that they can use. Why? Because of being made in, you know, made in sin. And so that's why it's another important reason to know your word and know that okay, when I do this is a repercussion. Okay, I'm opening doors. I'm allowing the enemy to attack. Not only am I allowing the enemy to attack me, but I'm allowing the enemy to attack my bloodline, my children. And then it just trickles down. And then when it gets to your child or us, okay, because I know that I'm a generational curse breaker. You seem like you're a generational curse breaker for your family as well. I'm not sure. You haven't mentioned that. But when you become this generational curse breaker, it's harder for us. All right. We're going to feel the weight of it because of the generations before us. And the enemy's like, nah, I've been here too long. I ain't going nowhere, you know, and then now you're fighting for dear life. You mentioned in the beginning, you mentioned how you had that 3-day fast and how a lot of these things left you. That's very rare for some people. Some people don't get the experience that I'm one of the people. So I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, because I think a lot of people need to understand deliverance and freedom, because a lot of people is walking around still dealing with things from trauma from their past, or they need inner healing, they need deliverance. And there's a lot of people don't believe Christians can have demons.
that's unfortunate, because that's how the devil keeps legal rights there. I mean, the Bible says that deliverance is a children's bread. If you're a child of God, that's yours. Now, if you're saying, read the Bible. So that was honestly the grace of God, as far as not having to struggle with fornication. Like I said, I wasn't even saved at that point. That was maybe like a month before salvation. And I believe that God did it sovereignly to show me that we wanted to take away the desire for the sin, to see the sin for what it was. So that's just like if somebody, you know, used to smoke weed heavily and now all of a sudden they don't have a desire for it. They can see marijuana for what it is. Like, you literally, your whole countenance changes. Mm. But as far as deliverance, and God is very logical. God knows that he knows that we can't save ourselves. He knows that it takes a combination of our will to want to be free, and then his power to actually set us free. So if you still actually like fornication and you don't want to give it up, he's not going to make you give it up. Like, he's not going to wrestle with you to get rid of a demon that's legal. And like you pointed out, one, covenants are legal contracts. So God is a God of legality, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. There are laws in the spirit that when you cut a covenant, which is an agreement, then it, as long as both of those parties are still in agreement, then the covenant stands. Yep. So that's why once saved, always saved is a lie, because if you decide to break the covenant, you could break the covenant and go back to a life of sin. Now, when it comes to deliverance, I know that one thing like I struggled with was rejection. Now, like the word says that the God's word will perform a merismos, and a merismos is the ability for you to actually see your heart, to see yourself, to see the state that you're in. You can see how you think. You can see things that are contrary to the word of God. And then at that point, you can make a logical decision to say, do I want to continue in this way of thinking? Do I want to keep this covenant, or do I want to break covenant with this spirit? If you say, yes, I want to break covenant with this spirit, being that it is legal, there are things that you do need to do sometimes, and it'll be very based off the individual, whether it's bloodline curses, whether, like, however the curse came about, that needs to be done in order for it to legally be broken. So for me, it's a lot of renouncing. So if you like just incant things over yourself that, oh, I'm never going to be this, or I'm never going to get married, or people always talking about me, or you're literally just continually ingraining that covenant, and that root is going deeper and deeper. So you have a lot of times, like I said, in my case, renouncing things that I've spoken over myself, renouncing that I've spoken over myself unconsciously, saying stuff when you're drunk, you know, all these agreements, and then God will go to work to perform that deliverance. Now, you being that God is the one performing it, God can use a person to administer deliverance, and you can receive deliverance straight from him in your room. Yeah. We have to get out of the mindset of, I need a physical person for everything. If God is God, he can do anything however you want to do it, but he's going to tell you how he wants to do it, though. So, and then it may be instances where you need to remove yourself from certain people, remove yourself from certain environments, because covenants, I mean, they're covenants for a reason. So if you're shacking up with a person, you say, okay, I want to be free from fornication, y'all can't live together. You got to flee temptation. You can't flirt with sin and want to be free from sin. Mm. So, and then walking and learning to walk in the liberty that you have from freedom. This is the main thing because, and like I said, I always want to know the why, even why the children of Israel, why they were so gung-ho on going back to Egypt after God didn't set y'all free. This is a real right here. Freedom feels strange when you've been captive all your life. So when God sets you free from something, you'll feel that weight lift off of you. You'll feel that liberty, but you have to then walk in the liberty. You have to get used to being free in that area and not returning back to it. God doesn't set us free all at one time, because like it says in the Bible, the land will increase against us. So if we were free all, as salvation, all the demons left, you would be a nut. You wouldn't know how to act because so much of your personality were interwoven with demons. So much of you was a demon. You don't know what you like. You don't know how to interact with people. You don't know how to be normal because you've never been normal outside of God.
Wow, that's good. They almost start tearing up because that's the story that God used all the time for me. It's about Egypt, and you're right. When God brings you out of your place of Egypt, it feels unreal because you don't know how to act outside of it. And one of the things God have been doing to me, which was he started doing healing on me in different areas of the damage that was done in that Egypt. So you're right, God is not going to just take it all away at once because you're not going to know how to act. Because as he's taken away, he's also adding too. He's filling you back up. And one of the things that God had did was he delivered me from the spirit of betrayal. Feeling deep hurt from that, depression, sadness, always crying, stuff like that. God literally did an inner healing session on me with just me and him. And he told me in that moment, like, I'm healing you right now. And so some people, they're like, oh, I can't get inner healing or I can't get deliverance because I need a person. Now, I'm not going to say that some things don't need people, because if you're a person who's fully manifesting, it's going to be kind of hard to to do it, even though God could just take it out, but sometimes I believe that there's a process so you don't get yourself in that situation again. But the thing is there are some cases where you need someone to be there, and there's some cases where God will just sit there and do it while you're fasting. That's why he says some of these things don't come out unless you what? Unless you're praying and fasting. Some things is needed for a fast to break these strong men, these strong demons, these Leviathans, these Jezebels. Them are some strong demons. We ain't gonna act like they ain't got no power, because they do. They got a lot of power. And God's word also talks about, like, the gifts are without repentance. Like, those angels that had fallen, they had giftings. They had, let's look at Satan. He, the author of music, look at him. Look at this world right now. Where's this music at? Okay. God didn't take that from him. He still have it, but he chose, now he's using it for the enemy. And that's what's happening. A lot of people are using their giftings that God have given them for the enemy now. And so I didn't know if you want to say anything on that before I move to the next thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, and I'm glad you touched on that, because it's you can listen to like people who have a beautiful voice,
My
a
goodness.
beautiful voice, who are amazing at just articulating words. I call them wordsmith. They can speak, they can talk a cat out of a bag, but you can pervert your gifts. If it's not used to glorify God, it's if it's not used for him, anything he gives is for him. He'll receive everything he puts out, but you can pervert it. And the main thing now is like what they're calling Christian rap. Nobody in heaven is rapping. I'm sorry. I know you came out of hip hop. Like I used to listen to like Chief Keef, Young Lil Durk, and Gucci Mane, and all them, Young Dolph. I thought I was a trap queen. So look, I was into the rap and the hip hop. And that was another thing that I didn't have to struggle with. I didn't have to struggle with rap, hip hop, R&B, none of that, because it didn't glorify God. I even tried to listen to a song like what they call Christian hip hop, and it reminded me of the world. Nothing that is anointed and given by God will remind you of Egypt, will remind you of the world, will remind you of a song in the world, because it's supposed to have your mindset above, not down here. So you can, like I said, the gifts of God are without repentance. You can be a beautiful singer, amazing singer, but what are you singing about? And you can't flip flop and say, "Well, I made a gospel song." No, he don't receive that. He don't receive what came from down here, period.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I want to ask you, where can people find your journal? because this is something that I did. We wanted to make sure we mentioned and talk about, because this journal is beautiful. I'm looking at it right here. The cover is very nice. It's called The Mercy Seat. I do see that you have it on, it's a website called republish.com. Is that right?
Rem Publish. So it's rempublish.com. So you can find it there. It'll be available for in paperback, hardcover, and as well as digital copy. Mm-hmm. So right now it's available for pre-order. It'll actually be released May the 26th, or you can find it on my author landing page, which is kynisaalexandria.com. That's kynisaalexandria.com.
I got a question. What would be your favorite part of this book, of this journal? What's your favorite section?
Honestly, the prayer, like the invitation for salvation, mm-hmm. that's my favorite one, because at the end of the day, anytime I open up my mouth, my goal and my desire is for to see somebody saved. Mm-hmm. And it's because, like, I look at these people, I love people. I love talking to people. I'm a, like, what they call, like, a people person. Mm-hmm. And these people out here are hurting. Like, I know I was hurting. Yeah. It was so much that I was going through, and it's so much that people are going through now. I used to work in elementary school, seeing the things that the kids are doing away from their parents. And knowing that this is all they know. When we see people walking around, used to strippers, drug dealers, or whatever else, this is all they know. Like, Jesus Christ knows what we're doing. He knows what we've been subject to. He knows the environments that we've been around. But he still offers salvation. Mm-hmm. And it is literally... I'm honestly flabbergasted at the mercy of God that when we were his enemy, he still offered salvation. And it took me 27, 28 years, not all the stuff that I was doing, and he still said, okay, I'm still giving you an opportunity. They still are able to be saved. So as long as God hasn't destroyed this place, there's an opportunity for people to be saved. Like, the most crazy looking folks, like, people walk around looking like goths, those are the ones I go after. I'm like, because I know the devil hate them, but I know God love them. Like, exposing the love of God to these people to just get them a chance. So that's my favorite part.
All right. And if you had anything to tell the people, if it was just that one person out there, what's in your spirit right now to share with them?
That Jesus Christ honestly loves you. It's not a corny quote. It's God thinks about you. Mm. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now, the things that you've done. Thinking that, you know, God doesn't look at you, he doesn't know what you're going through, or he's abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you. The only reason why you're in your situation is because you're living your life how you want to live it. If you would have just said, hey, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't like what I'm doing right now. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't have an identity. He'll take the life that you're tired of living and he'll change it. He will literally change your life. Like, if you guys seen a picture of me, I would be unrecognizable. I had a septum piercing, like I said, tongue pierced twice, nose piercing, blue dreadlocks, tattoos everywhere. Wow. And I was literally a phone call away from being a stripper and being on OnlyFans. So wow. If he can take me and literally change my life, and it's amazing. Walking with Jesus Christ is like, if you like things spontaneous, Jesus Christ is spontaneous. And you will never regret it. And if you out there, if you like fighting, you can fight the devil. That's a worthy cause, a worthy war to go against. And God truly, if you allow him, he'll be able to change you, no matter what you think about yourself. He doesn't see you how you see yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of people feeling like they're too filthy, that they're too dirty to come to Christ. And I hear this all the time. Well, I got to clean myself up first. You would never be able to clean yourself up. Never. You need Christ in order to be cleaned up. I want to pray for us. I want to pray us out. And then we're going to, you know, see where the Lord leads in. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray right now for the viewers, for those that is watching and listening. Lord God, you see where their hearts are at. You see, Lord God, the struggles that they may have. You see the thoughts that they have, Lord God, the emotions that they fight on a day-to-day basis. We just pray, God, that you will be the person who will come and fill them up right now, Lord God. If they don't know you or have a deep relationship with you, we ask right now, Lord God, that you give them a hunger and a thirst, Lord God, to want to have a relationship with you, Lord God. We pray right now, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in their life, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord God, that bondages, Lord God, things that has been binding them, Lord God, to the enemy, we ask that it's loosened now in the name of Jesus. And we put the blood of Jesus between them and that thing that is trying to keep them away from you. We pray, Lord God, that their spiritual eyes will be open, spiritual ears will be open, and that they will have a heart to receive what it is that you're trying to say to them, Lord God. We pray right now that this is a divine appointed time for them, Lord God, and that they will receive you, Lord God, and move forward instead of backwards, Lord God. Whatever it is that's been pulling them away from you, we ask that you convict their hearts, convict them, Lord God, so that they can turn away from it, Lord God. Just as your word says, go and sin no more, Lord God. And so I pray that today, Lord God, someone have received deliverance, Lord God, mental deliverance, Lord God, from the bondage of Satan. And we pray against all deceptive spirits, Lord God, that try to plague your people and keeping them in a place and position where they think they're serving you, but they're not. Father, we ask that their eyes is open today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to make sure that the Mercy Seat, all of the information on how to purchase her journal is in the description, as well as her contact information. And for if you wanted to reach out to her personally, thank you again for coming in. And everyone, we will see you on the next show. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Journey Journal. Are you a person who needs to sign up for gospel mentor coaching? By signing up, you will have an accountability partner. Learn about spiritual warfare, overcome your trauma, build a relationship with God, learn how to live again, and so much more. Please look into the description and make your appointment today.